Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with rejoicing because you have fulfilled your promise and Emmanuel has come. Jesus, God with us, was born 2,000 years ago, and we rejoice in that. Lord, I pray that you would draw us close to yourself now as we seek to fix our thoughts and our attention on Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, Christmas is a great time of year. It's the one time of year where it seems like everybody is nice to each other. You'll be in the stores and, you know, you just greet people. You help them find what they're looking for. Everyone is nice and kind. Christmas is a great time of year. Brings all kinds of memories to you as well. You know, I know that tomorrow morning, way too early, I will be getting payback for all the times I drag my parents out of bed to get the presents because my kids will be doing that to me. Presents are one of the memories that we have of Christmas. Something maybe more pure than that is we'll have memories of times with family and friends sitting around the table, enjoying a meal together, enjoying coming from different parts of the country, wherever we are, coming around together this very special time of year. Those are good memories. But, you know, Christmas can be the best of times and the worst of times. Christmas can also bring with it a time of heartache. When you're going through a difficult time, it seems that everyone else having fun and good memories just magnifies the pain you're enduring. People around us just seem to think nothing of breaking their promises, breaking a contract. Marriage vows are broken all around us. And that's just the way life is in this world. And sometimes we bear the brunt of it. Maybe you're here and you're mad at God and you just want to push him away and say, Lord, leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with you. And it's against this backdrop of our human condition that God's faithfulness shines so brightly. You see, no matter whether you're happy or whether you're sad, no matter whether Christmas is a fantastic time you look forward to, or whether Christmas is a time where your pain, your loneliness is just magnified, no matter what is going on in your life, Christmas is really all about God keeping his promise that he has made with you. You see, that night at Bethlehem, a little over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, God was fulfilling his promise that he had made in eternity past to give the world a Savior. And to capture some of that moment, I want to take you back in time, right around the time of Jesus' birth. About a week after Jesus was born, there was a custom in the Jewish religion where children would be taken to the temple. And Jesus was no different. His parents took him to the temple. And the account is in Luke chapter 2. There was a very godly man there named Simeon. He was a man who loved God. And he knew that God had made a promise to his people. In Luke chapter 2, it says he was a good man who lived in prayerful expectancy for God's promise to be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit had shown him that this Savior would be born during his lifetime. And so he was led by the Spirit and he entered the temple. And as he came into the temple, roughly the same time, a young couple holding a week-old baby walked in as well. And instantly, Simeon knew who this was. And Simeon walked over to this couple. And it says he took this baby named Jesus into his arms. And he looked at this baby. And he said, God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. Then in verse 30, listen to what he says. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people, Israel. Simeon recognized that this baby right here was the fulfillment of a promise that God had made from way back to be the Savior of his people. You see, in the ups and downs of history, God's people often wondered if they'd been forgotten. Wait a minute, if we're God's people, if God is on our side, life should be okay. We should be doing all right. We should be one of the better off nations in the world. We should be in charge of other people. And instead, we're always getting stepped on. Life just isn't going according to plan. This is an unfulfilled vision. We're God's people. Life should be good for us. And that wasn't the case. And throughout the Old Testament, you can read of God's people saying, Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten us? And we can do the same thing. And we wonder, Lord, what is going on here? And we can get so distracted by all that is going on around us that we miss out on what is really important. We can miss out on the main thing that should keep us going all along. And Christmas is a time to draw our focus back and remember that God is a promise-keeping God. That God is faithful. He will never let us down. And he always delivers on his promises. One place you can find this promise is in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah. God's people were again going through a difficult time, wondering, Lord, what is going on here? Have you forgotten us? What's the deal? This just doesn't make sense. And then in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning in verse 33, this is what God says. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This was a promise that God made hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And it was a promise that God knew he was going to fulfill. But there are some fantastic things in this promise. This is not just some religious talk about something that happened hundreds of years ago and really didn't mean much to me right here and now. Here's what God's promise means to each of us. It says in there that I will write my law in their hearts and their minds. What God is saying here is I will give them the power to live life as it ought to be. You see, as human beings, we naturally tend to want to do our own thing. We say, God, I'll come to you, but I want it to be on my terms. God, I want you to be out there. I want you to be there to help me when I need you. But otherwise, let me go through life on my own. We want things our way. But that drives us apart from God. And the Bible calls that sin. It drives a wedge between us. It separates us. And then we feel that we've got to keep all these rules and regulations and try to earn God's favor. And God says, stop. You'll never be able to do it. You will never earn my favor. You will never be able to earn your way into my good graces. And what God is saying here is when he says, I will write my law in your heart and your minds, is he saying, I will come into your life and I will guide you in how to live. I will give you what you need to do the right thing. Because apart from God, we can't do it. And he goes on in this promise and he says, I will be their God. This is the God of the universe saying to each of us, I will be your God if you will turn to my Savior. This is amazing. The God of the universe, the one who made this world, the one who looks at Niagara Falls and says, that's nothing, is the God who says, I will be your God. And I will be with you. You know, when I was in high school, the last day of my junior year, there was rioting in my school. It was a frightening experience. It was just not a very good time to be there. Stuff was being thrown. Windows were being broken. Police got called in. Fights all over the place. Gangs just running around. And I was very fortunate because in the last class that I was in before we got let out into this melee, I was with a teammate of mine on the wrestling team, and this guy happened to be in the heavyweight division, and he was the runner-up in the state. And so what I did when things were getting hairy in school is I just stuck real close to Danny. And I knew that no one was going to mess with Danny, and so no one was going to mess with me. And that was true. I made it through unscathed. And in a much bigger way, we have the heavyweight of the universe who says, I will be with you. Let people mess with me. I dare them. I will be with you. I am your God. The God of the universe says, I will be with you. I will walk with you. I will go through life with you. That's great news. What a promise. Then he says, they will all know me. This is like no other religion in the world, where God is this being kind of way out there, so transcendent. But God says, yes, I am way out there. I made everything. I'm above everything. But you can know me. You can enjoy life with me and live life as you were supposed to enjoy it. They will all know me. The God of the universe kept his promise and did what needed to be done so we could know him. And it's so interesting that God is the Lord of the universe, yet he stepped into our world as a human being, as a man, as a baby, into a nondescript town, not even in a hospital or a nice hotel, but he stepped into this world. And he can say to us, I know what it's like to live in your world. I'm not a God who's way out there and oblivious to your daily going on. I know what it's like to live in your world. I know what it's like to have people mistreat me. I know what it's like to be thirsty. I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to be rejected by people. I know what it's like to have friends and enjoy them. The God of the universe says, you can know me because I also know you. But I think the greatest thing in all this promise is what he says at the end. I will forgive your sins. I will forgive your wickedness and remember your sins no more. Because it's this last part that makes everything possible. You see, as human beings, all of us have fallen short of God's perfect standard. We can't live up to his perfection. And that separates us from God. And sometimes we'll try to fill that gap in and we'll try to say we'll do good things, we'll go to church, we'll do this, we'll do that. But none of it is good enough to get right with God. But God says, don't worry, because I will do what needs to be done. I will send a Savior, and I will forgive your wickedness, and I will remember your sins no more. And all of this is true because of a baby born in Bethlehem who was born to die. He was born to die so that he could pay that penalty for our sin that each of us owes, that we could never repay by ourselves. God says, I will forgive your wickedness and remember your sin no more. That means God will never hold our sin against us when we come to him as our Savior. When we say, oh Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me and you rose again, and I'm trusting in you to pay that penalty for my sin. God says, your sin is dealt with. Anything that was between you and me is done. I've taken care of it. And I won't bring it up against you. You know, one of the painful things in an argument with someone is when they dredge up stuff from the past. But God is never going to do that with us, because he kept his promise and he sent a Savior. And this Savior was born into our world, lived a perfect life, and then died in our place to pay that penalty for our sin so that we could be forgiven and made right with God. All of this is a promise that God has kept. And as we enter the Christmas season, as we prepare to celebrate tomorrow, remember that night that Jesus was born was a holy night. Because after all of the centuries, God was fulfilling his promise to provide a Savior. God was fulfilling his promise to mankind that anyone who had come to him on his terms could enjoy life as it was meant to be. God was fulfilling his promise to send a Savior who would be able to forgive us for everything we've ever done wrong. And that is good news. It was a holy night when Jesus was born. It was a holy night in the temple when Simeon held Jesus in his arms and says, I've seen the fulfillment of this promise. It's a holy moment for us as we reflect on Jesus, who was born over 2,000 years ago to be our Savior and the fulfillment of God's promise. Let's reflect on all of that as we move towards communion.